Remember the story of Seattle's gold-hearted CEO, handsome, long-haired Dan Price at the Seattle credit card processing company Gravity Payments, famously cut his own pay and raised the minimum wage for all his employees to $70,000 a year. Price told The Daily Show he wanted to help end inequality in America.
Our system is set up to incentivize me as a CEO to try to suck out as much value, pay everybody the least amount possible, charge everyone the most possible, and take the most for myself. And does that system actually lead to the happiest life? And I would suggest that some of the most successful companies out there actually had something that was really magical called love. And love is a rational force that can overwhelm some of these economics and create like this new economic reality.
If the story of Dan Price's love seemed almost too good to be true, well, our next guest says maybe that's because it was. Reporter Karen Wise of Bloomberg Businessweek told me that Price created an image of altruism but downplayed some inconvenient facts.
Dan Price announced his pay raise for his employees back in April and kind of became this huge global sensation. He was on dozens of TV shows, radio, print outlets, and it continued since then. He spoke at the Aspen Ideas Festival. He's met all kinds of various celebrities here or there. He got a literary agent, a speaking agent, a book contract, and really became kind of was entering that top echelon of kind of do-gooder business CEOs. We're thinking about like Tony Hsieh at Zappos or something like that, really trying to show that there's a new way for our kind of economy to look forward that in a more equitable, fair way.
And what has happened to Dan Price since all that positive attention?
So the New York Times in July reported that it caused some trouble, that two employees left because they felt the raise wasn't fair to higher wage earners, that a couple of...
I'm working harder than this other person who's making the same $70,000 or whatever.
Exactly, exactly. Though at the same time, Gravity was flooded with resumes from people who, for many obvious reasons, were interested in working there, and they've actually have hired more employees since then. They say they've lost a few clients, but that they've gained more because of people supporting their mission and their vision. And the other kind of major challenge is that Dan Price, the CEO's brother, Lucas Price, sued him. And that suit has been something that Dan has talked about as having himself be seen as an underdog, that his brother sued him essentially in retaliation for the pay raise because the brother's the minority shareholder in the company.
And you're reporting that this brother lawsuit didn't quite go down like that?
Yeah. So in the course of my reporting, I learned that the lawsuit actually came a month before the wage hike, the pay increase for employees. And that kind of challenges the narrative that Dan had said to me and to other reporters that kind of said that it was a reaction to it. Instead, what you have is the brother essentially saying he's greedy, and then he goes out and does this kind of magnanimous, altruistic move. So why the connection is, I don't fully know. He has hinted at the potential negotiating powers that could give him in the lawsuit. And also, I do think it has helped him publicly kind of as this kind of underdog that people want to kind of support and back up. I think the reality is inequality is a huge problem in our country. And I think a lot of people were really excited to see a new CEO doing something about it. But his pathway to doing it is not quite as clear as people knew.
So besides the timing of this lawsuit, what else led you to the conclusion that his altruism may not be what it seemed?
One of the claims in the lawsuit was that Dan overpaid himself as CEO. And in a lot of the press coverage, you see they talked about how he took a 90% pay cut to pay for this, the wage increase for his workers. He took his salary from over $1 million down to $70,000 like his coworkers. And when I looked at comparable pay rates for other private companies, I found that $1 million would be very atypical for a company of Gravity size. It has about 100 employees based in Ballard. And they do, you know, they're very excellent employees from what I can tell, very hardworking, try to serve their customers very well. But it's not a huge revenue business. It's not a hugely profitable business. And the pay that he was getting would be more in line with a significantly larger company than it is.
Everybody doesn't get paid the same. What's the big deal if he was doing great?
So it's if you own your own business by yourself, that's one thing. If you have a shareholder to answer to, that's another thing. And he does have a minority shareholder, and that's a question that the court will deal with at some point in the future.
Okay, so let's say that Dan Price at least had more complicated motives than that top-line national media story about him. He still raised a lot of people's wages up high, $70,000. He didn't have to do that. What makes you sure that he, or if you are, that he doesn't genuinely want to improve the world?
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that could be there. I mean, he's a human like all of us are. So I think that's the point we tried to make in the article, is that there are 70 people at that company who earn a lot more than they did before. And that's a reality. I think as our culture looks for heroes, we sometimes look for purity in things. And that may not be the case here. That doesn't change the fact that the act actually happened.
What was your opinion of Dan Price and his action of equality going into your story?
Well, I'll say that this was assigned to me by our editor-in-chief for our Good Business issue of the magazine. And so we had intended to write about a good business leader. And it wasn't until I actually started writing and started lining up the various facts that I realized that some of his story didn't hold on. And so for me, I would say as a journalist, I learned to be very careful about what I report, and that people have their side of the story, but there are certain ways to show or to learn if that's accurate or not.
Part of the fascination with Dan Price is him, the CEO savior. What did you learn about Dan Price personally in your reporting?
He has a, as I'll use the word again, complicated backstory. And part of it, I learned that his former wife recently gave a public talk where she did not name him, but talked about her former husband as someone who abused her, physically abused her. And her talk was about the power of writing to overcome trauma. She is a blogger and writes a lot. And she talked about series of incidences that were, which she found traumatic. And she said that when her husband hit her. And so that talk comes online publicly, is scheduled to be posted next week. And so I've seen it, and I quote from it in my story. And that will be another inflection point for Dan, I think, when that talk is public.
So Dan Price hasn't yet had the chance or taken the chance to comment on this allegation.
He, when I first read him the quotes from the talk, he said he felt it was unfair to be asked to comment on something he had not personally seen. And then he later called me back and said that the comments I reported that she said never happened. And he has since said that he was not abusive to his wife.
So you were reporting the story, and in the process you realized, oh, I'm about to tell people stuff they might not even wish they knew. What did you think about the importance of telling this story?
I think when someone is held up as much as he has been and has put himself as much as he has been as someone who's really leading the way for the future, trying to lead a movement, kind of a new way of looking at business, I think it's important for all of us to understand where that person is coming from. Dan is now has made himself and has become a public figure. And as a result, I think it's important to understand the kind of the integrity behind what he's saying. There were times where he told me stories that factually could not have happened. The allegations of abuse from his wife, though I can't independently substantiate, those would be troubling for me to hear as a woman, as someone who I would hold up as a leader. And so I think we need to take a broader look at what we're looking for as someone to inspire us.
Karen, how conflicted did you feel about potentially feeding our cynicism? Person does something good, becomes famous, gets knocked down, and guess what? Nobody's perfect.
Yes, this is a huge challenge. And I think part of the difficulty with this is it's clear that people in our country need to make more money. So I think, I hope that this doesn't mean that business leaders don't try to improve their own businesses and improve the lives of their own workers, because I think there's a lot clearly that can be done there. But I think it's unfortunate for people trying to do good that Dan's become kind of a singular figurehead when he has a more complicated backstory.
You heard Bloomberg Businessweek reporter Karen Wise there saying that this was originally a story for their Good Business issue. That was the name of it. So after the story took a turn, they asked each other, does this still go into our Good Business issue? And they decided, yeah, it would. So that comes out at the end of this week. And of course, we reached out to CEO Dan Price for comment and have not yet heard back.